these stories in full, plus more. Kenny Harkin will be bringing you the latest in sport at around 5:15, and Chris Ashmore will have the latest farming news and views. Up first in news, the PSNI is warning of possible Republican terror attacks on police in Derry on Monday. Officers are preparing for one of the biggest security operations Northern Ireland has seen in years. Tom Douglas reports.
The PSNI has expressed a real concern there could be a public order incident staged effectively to become a platform for terrorist attacks on police. It's warned there will be strong community intelligence operations in place this weekend, with special focus on Easter Monday, the anniversary of the Easter Rising. Britain's intelligence service, MI5, recently raised the terrorism threat in Northern Ireland to severe, meaning an attack is highly likely. It came not too long after the shooting of PSNI senior detective John Caldwell at OMA. He suffered life-changing injuries as a result. Alongside this, officers are preparing for a massive security operation around the visit of Joe Biden later next week. Around 300 officers are being drafted in as the US president arrives to mark the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement.
The government says COVID delays led to the Department of Housing not spending around 1.5 billion euro of its capital budget since 2020. That includes around a billion euro earmarked for social and affordable housing. Political correspondent Sean Defoe has more.
New figures show a serious underspend by the Department of Housing since 2020, with around a billion euro earmarked for housing not spent. The government says this is largely driven by the COVID shutdowns of the construction sector, but the trend has continued into this year, with the department's capital spending about 30% below expectations in the first quarter. Sinn Féin's housing spokesman Owen O'Brien says it's about red tape.
The problem is that there are too many bureaucrats getting in the way of project delivery and project management on the ground. What we cannot have is the Department of Housing officials in the Customs House micromanaging every single aspect of every single housing project. That is the responsibility of local authorities.
That's something Fine Gael Senator Barry Ward denies.
Owen described last year's delivery of social housing as being meagre. It is the greatest delivery of social housing since I was born. It's since 1975, in fact. So, in fact, we have targeted more social housing by this government than any government since the 1970s.
The 1 billion euro not spent is estimated to be the equivalent of 4,000 homes.
Mayor of Derry City and Strabane District Council, Councillor Sandra Duffy, has condemned the recent hate crime attack on a young schoolgirl in Derry's city centre. Mayor Duffy says the incident was shocking and appealed to anyone with information or who witnessed the attack to contact the PSNI. Mayor Duffy said, as a mother of two daughters, I was shocked and upset at the 12-year-old girl who would have had to endure this type of hate in our city centre. I want to offer my support to the young girl and her family and reassure them that this type of behaviour will not be tolerated. Our city centre should be a safe space for every young person to visit and socialise. The latest figures from the IMNO show that of 8 a.m. this morning, 41 patients were waiting beds in Letterkenny University Hospital, making it the fourth most overcrowded hospital in Ireland today. Of these, 14 were in the emergency department and 27 in wards elsewhere. Over 500 people are waiting on trolleys in hospitals across the country today. Sean O'Regan reports.
The Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation says 527 people are waiting for beds in hospitals nationwide today. 385 patients are waiting in emergency departments, while 142 are in wards. The five most overcrowded hospitals today are University Hospital Limerick with 111 patients on trolleys, 62 at Cork University Hospital, 61 at University Hospital Galway, 41 at Letterkenny University Hospital, and 35 people are waiting for a bed at Sligo University Hospital. University Hospital Limerick is asking that less acutely unwell patients avoid its emergency department over the Easter weekend. The 111 people on trolleys there works out at 20% of all patients in the hospital this Thursday afternoon. Management at UHL have said it's likely that anyone presenting to the ED with less than urgent healthcare needs will face a lengthy wait. The hospital adds it has requested that consultants and senior clinical decision makers are available over the weekend in order to support discharge and movement of patients.
The same sentiment has been echoed for Letterkenny University Hospital, with the Northwest Healthcare Services encouraging people, if possible, to use non-emergency care such as injury units, out-of-hours GPs and pharmacies before attending the ED over the busy Easter weekend. The chair of the Green Party in Donegal says it's vital that there is strong competition authority in place in Ireland. This is to ensure that inflation is not used as an excuse for profiteering. Michael White says there is evidence of prices being increased in several sectors for profit rather than as a response to prevailing economic conditions. He says there's already evidence of this happening in the building sector, with some evidence that prices are already rising. He told Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show that thousands of homes set to be rebuilt as a result of defective blocks in Donegal, there is to be a considerable price inflation.
If food profitability has suddenly increased dramatically in the last 12 months, that's not because of natural economic drivers, that's because companies are ripping you off. You know, so we need to, Ireland's got a history, it used to be called Treasure Island by some of the retailers, because they could load up on so much profit here, because there wasn't good competition. We just need to make sure the same thing doesn't happen. We've had issues like that too with insurance costs. We need a strong competition authority. Another pertinent thing for Donegal people, I've heard anecdotally the same thing is happening to builder supplies, where somebody who's ordering wood has been advised to order it from Northern Ireland rather than the Republic, because the prices in the Republic are increasing exponentially faster. So, and that's going to, people like me who will be looking at rebuilding their house through the mica, like we're going to have house price inflation here like nobody's business. So it's something to watch. It isn't because some obscure, the problems we're having are being caused by human decisions.
So let me ask you then, do you think part of it is that companies, suppliers are looking at what's happening here, the desperate need to build houses, the desperate need, of course, to replace defective concrete affected houses, and it's a desperate market, and they can kind of name their price. Surely that couldn't
be
happening.
Well, I think that's not a reflection on builders in Ireland or Donegal in particular. This the same in all of human history. If there's money coming in and there's more money to get, people increase their prices. It's how markets work, unless there's some counteraction, some kind of authority or something. So it'll spin up. If there's more money available, more money will be quoted in prices, and that the overall prices will increase. That's what happens in most markets, unless somebody comes in with a stick and tells you to calm down a bit.
The head of the European Commission has warned China it must not supply any military equipment to Russia for its war on Ukraine. Ursula von der Leyen was speaking in Beijing today, where she's been meeting Chinese leaders, including its president Xi Jinping. She said her visit was taking place in a challenging and increasingly volatile context, in particular, she said, because of Russia's war of aggression against Ukraine.
China's position on this is crucial for the European Union. As a member of the UN Security Council, there is a big responsibility, and we expect that China will play its role and promote a just peace, one that respects Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity, one of the cornerstones of the UN Charter. I did emphasize in our talks today that I stand firmly behind President Zelensky's peace plan. I also welcomed some of the principles that have been put forward by China. This is notably the case on the issue of nuclear safety and risk reduction. And China's statement on the unacceptability of nuclear threats or the use of nuclear weapons. We also count on China not to provide any military equipment directly or indirectly to Russia, because we all know arming the aggressor would be against international law and it would significantly harm our relationship.
€8 million in funding for 140 archaeological heritage projects throughout the country as part of the department's Community Monuments Fund this year, with almost €385,000 being awarded to 7 projects in Donegal. Over 103,000 has been allocated to Kiltiggy Church and Graveyard, almost 100,000 to Raymockie Church and Graveyard, almost €98,000 to Dún Fort, over 32,000 for Kilbarron Church, over 27,000 to St. Noel's Church and Graveyard, almost 17,000 for Mallin Well Old Church, and over 8,000 for Stratnakilla in Dunluce. Letterkenny councillor Donal Coyle says this is an indication of the rich historic heritage in Donegal. He's particularly delighted with the funding for Raymockie.
I'm delighted with the announcement, and in particular the announcement of €99,705 for Raymockie Graveyard. And, you know, it's testament to the Raymockie Historical Society for the work that they have done to date, and the application that they submitted to secure this funding. I congratulate them and well done to them.
In total, 7 historic monuments across Donegal receiving funding. And from the point of view of Donegal, it's just another indication of how much history there is in this county, the richness of the history and culture upon which modern-day Donegal is built.
You know, of all the counties in Ireland, I think We here in Donegal have one of the richest heritage and historical sites, and it's great to see money being allocated to all of those projects.
A number of roads are to be gritted from 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, Good Friday morning. A list of these roads can be found on our website, highlandradio.com. The notice was issued by Donegal County Council, along with a warning to drivers to assume that no road is ice-free. The time is 12 minutes past 5 o'clock. We'll be back with the latest in sport after this short break.
Like your Easter lamb, Irish and Board Bea quality assured? At Aldi from 3rd of April, full lamb leg save 10%, only $8.99 per kilo. And from 6th of April, half side of salmon save 44%, only $4.99. And cracking Easter offers on specially selected Albarino wine save 25%, only $7.49. And we have the lowest price on Prosecco Frizzante, save 22%, only $6.21. Nah, I don't like it like that. I love it. Get the facts, be drink aware, visit drinkaware.ie. Cracking offers limited to 2 per customer.
Shop Evolve Clothing for Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, Paul and Shark, Gant, and many more casual and streetwear brands. Menswear Superstore, Letterkenny Retail Park, or online at evolveclothing.com. Easter sale now on.
We should all be grateful to Vespula vulgaris, the common Irish wasp, because Vespula vulgaris is equipped with an early warning system, only audible when you're in harm's way, just like Front Assist, Driver Alert and Lane Assist. Early warning systems equipped as standard on Volkswagen's T-Cross, T-Roc and Taygo SUVs, which only kick in when you need them. Search Volkswagen SUV.
Volkswagen.
Farm planning permissions hit by major obstacles. For more in your Farmer's Journal, here's Paul Mooney.
We reveal who is behind a flood of planning problems for sheds, tanks and milking parlours. We have the latest on fertiliser prices, how to maximise your suckler payment, calls for levies on agri-food exports, top tips for completing your BIS application, tax increases on loaders and teleporters. Are you compliant? And in Irish Country Living, enjoy our inspirational Easter recipes and kids' puzzles.
Inside this week's Irish Farmer's Journal, on sale now.
Hop to Tesco for great food and value this Easter. Get Tesco finest sides like creamy mash and potato gratin 450 gram and more now 2 for €6. Tesco finest Irish whole and half leg of lamb was €15.99 per kilo, now half price with your Tesco club card or app. And wines like Campo Viejo Rioja Reserva, Oyster Bay Sauvignon Blanc 75 cl and more up to 33% off. Tesco, every little helps. Products subject to availability. T's and C's apply. Excludes express stores. Enjoy alcohol responsibly.
Be prepared for training and match day with kit and other essentials from all the top names at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, sponsors of Sport on Highland. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
The time is approaching 5:15. We're handing over to Kenny for the latest in sport.
Thanks, Donna Marie. Good evening. Starting with golf, and it's day one of the Masters at Augusta. It's the first major of the year, and in the early stages, Shane Lowry and Seamus Power are just a single shot off the lead. They're both in one under par through 7 and 6 holes respectively, with 5 players in a tie for the lead on 2 under par. Irish amateur Matthew McLean, he's 3 over par through 12 holes. World number 2 Rory McIlroy, he's in the second last 3 ball just before 7 o'clock Irish time. Tiger Woods is also out in the course, he's 1 over par through 4 holes. Earlier on, legends Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player and Tom Watson, they hit the honorary opening shots at lunchtime. Excuse me. And the DP World Tour has won its legal battle against 12 golfers who defected to the breakaway Love Series. Tribunals ruled the players, including Ian Poulter and Lee Westwood, committed serious breaches of the tour's code when competing in the Saudi-funded event's inaugural tournament last June. They must now pay a €100,000 fine, although they do have the right to appeal. In Gaelic games, there's some sad news today when former Derry player, manager and county chairman Jim McKeever, there was news that he had passed away. He was the inaugural footballer of the year in 1958. And in other news, it seems that Donegal will have to plan without Ryan McHugh for the championship. Donegal travel to play Down in their Ulster opener in a fortnight on Sunday. But according to this morning's Donegal news, McHugh has been unable to shake off a groin injury, which has kept him out of action this year, and he's unlikely to feature in the championship. In soccer, Frank Lampard has been appointed caretaker manager of Chelsea until the end of the season. He's returned for a second spell in charge after being sacked from the role in 2021 following 18 months in the job. The former English international, who won every domestic honour as a player, has been out of work since leaving fellow Premier League side Everton in January. And in ladies soccer tonight, Wales, they host Northern Ireland in a friendly in Cardiff. England, they continue their preparations for this summer's Women's World Cup when they host Brazil in the inaugural Women's Finalisma tonight. The sold-out Wembley sees the European champions take on the South American champions. And locally in the Ulster Senior League tonight, Bonagie United, they play Derry City Reserves. That one kicks off in the Dry Arch Park at 8 o'clock this evening. In cricket, the Ireland men's team put on an incredible performance on day three of the one-off test match against Bangladesh. The hosts wiped out the Irish top order before stumps yesterday, but Ireland lost only 4 wickets all day today. Lorcan Tucker had a day to remember with a century on debut. Harry Tector added a second 50 on debut, while Andy McBrien, he followed up a 6-wicket haul with a superb 71. Ireland are 265-8 at stumps in Dhaka. They hold a lead of 131 runs. In snooker, Cork's Aaron Hull leads his second qualifying round match at the World Championship in Sheffield. He's 7-3 up against Michael White, while Northern Ireland man Jared Green, he leads David Lilly by 6 frames to 3. The first to 10 frames progresses. In rugby, Keelan Doris will start at open side flanker in place of the injured Josh Van de Fleer for Leinster's Heineken Champions Cup clash with Leicester tomorrow. Van de Fleer misses out with an ankle injury suffered in last weekend's win over Ulster. As expected, Gary Ringrose returns at second centre with Jimmy O'Brien moving to the wing in place of Jordan Larimer. The rest of the side remains unchanged for the quarter-final tie at the Aviva Stadium. And Jack Flannery, Angus Curtis and Luke Marshall will continue to line out for Ulster in the seasons ahead. Tipperary native Jack Flannery has agreed a new 3-year deal that will keep him at Kingspan Stadium until at least 2026. 25-year-old Curtis has put a pen to paper on a new 2-year deal with the province, and Marshall, who has amassed over 150 appearances for his home province, is to remain in Belfast for another year. Finally, for this evening, on the score this evening after the 7 o'clock news, joining Dermot Doherty this evening, Gavin Cullen looks ahead to this weekend's League of Ireland action. He also talks about Cock Hill, who are in action this weekend against St Mochta's in the FAI Senior Cup first round tie on Saturday. In rugby, Letterkenny Rugby Club there in Gordon West Cup final action on Tuesday. We'll have a preview of that. And Michael McMullen joins Dermot to look ahead to Derry against Donegal in the Under-20 Championship Gaelic Games match on Saturday. That's the score just after the 7 o'clock news. It's back to Donna Marie.
Thanks, Kenny. We'll head over to Chris Ashmore now for the latest Farmant news and views.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about a public information evening in Donegal for farmers wishing to join the Suckler Carbon Efficiency Programme. And we'll also hear about a proposal from the Citizens Assembly regarding possible levies on agri-food exports to finance biodiversity. But first this evening, when it comes to whether there is a soft border or a hard border between the north and south, it can depend on what is actually moving over it. In the case of fertiliser, there could be added red tape if buying direct from the north. I've been speaking with Amy Ford, Deputy News Editor of the Irish Farmers Journal, to find out more.
Yeah, Chris, thanks for having me on. And look, I suppose we've had a lot of talk of hard and soft borders over the last number of years of Brexit. But in this case, today we're talking about the National Fertiliser Database under proposed Department of Agriculture rules, essentially, in the Republic. And that's that farmers who buy fertiliser direct from Northern Ireland must register as fertiliser economic operators and submit information on their imports to this database when it's up and running. The move will disrupt fertiliser trading and lead to a hardening of the border for farmers. Sinn Féin TD McCarthy has said, and he said that at the Joint Oireachtas Committee last week. So this is essentially where a farmer buys fertiliser in the Republic, the merchant or co-op that they deal with is obliged to submit the information on their behalf. So if you're buying in your local co-op, you know, they'll do that for you. And then the requirement for individuals to register as economic operators will negatively impact all Ireland trade. And that's according to McCarthy. So it is an interesting one that he's saying that there could be a hardening of the border for anyone in the border counties or anywhere else that does buy fertiliser from the north.
Yeah, and we've seen in recent weeks quite a big disparity in prices north and south for fertiliser.
Yeah, we did. And look, we saw the IFA, they imported a couple of batches of fertiliser from the north at much cheaper prices and then distributed it to members. It'll be interesting to see how this is all enforced, essentially. Like McCarthy said this week, that it's ironic that at a time when it's so much effort has gone into working on a European level to ensure that there would be no hardening of the border in the country, that the Department of Agriculture is actually putting in place what is effectively a hardening of the border in terms of farmers' ability to operate north and south and vice versa, he said. And look, I suppose our border on this island, a lot of farmers do rely on the openness of it. Like, we know that a lot of milk it goes back and forth for further processing. A lot of pigs and lambs and sheep go back and forward for processing as well. So that the fact that he's saying that there could be a potential hard border in this event around fertiliser, you know, is something new, and it will be more onerous on anyone that decides to import from the north if they have to register as an economic operator down here.
We will watch with interest. Finally, Amy, the Citizens Assembly has had a number of discussions in relation in particular to taxation and some issues that may be of interest to the farming community.
Yeah, this one, it feels like it's kind of been going on a while. Now, all the recommendations have been put into the pot and they've essentially streamlined it to the final set of recommendations, and they're saying that levies should be charged on agri-food exports to basically finance biodiversity measures, and any environmentally harmful farming subsidies should be phased out. That's what it has advised government. The Assembly was almost unanimous in voting for a review of all state policy concerning farmland biodiversity, as it said that the current protections in place are not sufficient, and another recommendation that it passed calls for consumers to be supported to shift towards a more plant-based diet. Look, basically the farm organisations as well, then, Chris, they're not too happy. IFA President Tim Cunlan, he lambasted the proposal to tax agri-food exports. He also said that the idea of placing a levy or a charge on exports from our largest Indigenous industry is outlandish in his view.
And that was Amy Ford, Deputy News Editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. The Department of Agriculture's Suckler Carbon Efficiency Programme opened last month. In conjunction with the Irish Cattle Breeding Federation and Bord Bia, the department is hosting public information evenings for farmers who wish to join the Sustainable Beef and Lamb Assurance Scheme. Well, to find out a little bit more, Damien Murray, Origin Green Standards Coordinator with Bord Bia, has joined me. Damien, important for people to get the information on this. There is going to be an information meeting here in Donegal in the Mount Errigal Hotel on May the 2nd, starting at 7 p.m. So enlighten us to why people should attend.
Absolutely. Thanks very much for having me. So I suppose, there's a lot of questions and queries out there in relation to the Suckler Carbon Efficiency Programme, whether it be from a Bord Bia side of things, their side of the house, or actual the ICBF side of actual department requirements itself for the scheme. So I suppose there's a lot of misinformation and different things out there. So I suppose we're just encouraging farmers, prospective farmers that are thinking about joining the scheme, to come on the night and actually see what it's entailed for yourself, and not maybe to be taking second-hand information. And we'll have people on the ground there to answer the questions both before and after. So anyone that has questions or queries, it's a good place to start and actually find out exactly what is required and where you stand yourself in relation to going into it and what will be expected over the contract of the SCEP.
So just outline in general, what exactly is the scheme all about?
It's an environmental scheme and follow-on for the BGTV scheme, and I suppose as part of this, where the Bord Bia requirements are coming in, they're looking to carbon footprint all the members of that. So the Bord Bia side of things, we've been carbon footprint in our members since 2017, And as part of the audit process, there's a sustainability survey element that has to be done. And through this, with information that we also get from the department and ICBS, and the information we collect our audit, a carbon footprint is got for every farm that's a member of the Sustainable Beef and Lamb Assurance Scheme. So it's an environmental scheme to start off with. It's building on what was there before with the Beef Genomics BGP scheme. And basically, it's an extra support there for suckler farmers as well.
Now, there's been a number of meetings already around the country, and I understand that some of the queries sort of keep cropping up. So what are the main things that people want to find out more about and want clarified?
Well, on our end, I suppose, for Board BIA, we're trying to maybe just explain to farmers maybe a lot of what is required in the scheme that they're doing already. So maybe to put farmers' fears at ease, and I suppose farmers think there's an awful lot of extra paperwork when it comes to Board BIA, an awful lot of extra work that they have to do. There's always the anxiety and the pressures there. They're worried when someone's coming out checking these things. But I suppose from our end, the question that will be coming up is like, how much extra work do I have to do, or how much extra paperwork? And we're just saying, for an awful lot of farmers to realise that they're doing an awful lot of it already without realising it. An awful lot of what we look for as part of the audit process, they're already doing for other schemes, such as their cross compliance and things like that. And it's getting in front of them and to explain that the records that they require, that we require, they're already keeping, and that they're fine to be kept in the way they're keeping them already, so that we don't look for duplication or records or things like that. An awful lot of the queries in relation to ICBF then in the department over reference years and where their herd stands at the moment.
So if people want to find out the answers to these questions, it's hard to beat speaking to a person on the night rather than maybe going through a website. So the Department of Agriculture's information evenings, in conjunction with the Irish Cattle Breeding Federation and Board BIA, the Donegal one in the Mount Errigal Hotel in Letterkenny on May the 2nd, starting at 7 p.m. Do people need to register in advance?
No. And there's people on site from 6 o'clock there, whether it be ourselves, Board BIA, the department have their own help desk staff, and ICBF have also their staff. So if anyone has queries or wondering where they stand, get there early. You can talk to someone beforehand and we'll also be there afterwards. There's plenty of information to be got, and there might be plenty of support for people and farmers that are wondering. They can also apply for both the Suckler Carbon Efficiency Programme and Board BIA on the night as well. So that can be all done there and then as well.
And that was Damien Murray, Origin Green Standards Coordinator with Board BIA. And just before we go, congratulations to Shannon Porter from the Milk Bar in Carrigans, who has been nominated for a European Innovation Award for Women Farmers. Finally, just a reminder that at 6 p.m. this evening, there is a suckler breeding farm walk on the farm of Neville Miles in Ballyshannon, and it's been run by Chagas in conjunction with the Irish Cattle Breeding Federation and Board BIA. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
To have a look at the weather for this evening. A bright evening with sunny spells and some isolated showers in light northwesterly winds. It will be dry and rather cold tonight with some patches of mist and fog developing and light winds. Lowest temperatures of -1 to 2 degrees with a touch of frost in places. To conclude this evening's headlines, the PSNI is warning of a possible Republican terror attacks on police in Derry on Monday. The government says COVID delays led to the Department of Housing not spending around €1.5 billion of its capital budget since 2020. The Mayor of Derry City and Strabane District Council has condemned the recent hate crime attack on a young schoolgirl in Derry City Centre, and Letterkenny University Hospital is the fourth most overcrowded hospital in Ireland today. That's all for now. We'll be back again with the latest headlines at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices this Thursday evening, April 6th. The death has taken place of Seamus McConnellogue, 554 Ardmacool Stranorler, and formerly of Glen McQuinn. Seamus's remains will repose at his late residence tomorrow from 5 p.m. until 10 p.m. and on Saturday from 12 noon until 10 p.m. Rosary is at 9 p.m. on both evenings. Funeral from there on Easter Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m. going to St. Mary's Church Convoy for 12:30 p.m. Requiem Mass. Interment afterwards in the old cemetery in Convoy. Family flowers only please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Clohan Day Centre, care of any family member. Family time please on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Mary McSheffrey, Tully Alley, Redcastle. Family time please from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Mary's funeral service will take place on Saturday morning at 11 a.m. in St. Columba's Church, Drung, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, donations in lieu to the Donegal Hospice Letterkenny, care of any family member. Mary's funeral service can be viewed live on stcolumbasdrung.net. The death has taken place of James Jimmy Timoney, Fintown. James will repose at his home in Fintown from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. today, and again tomorrow from 2 p.m. until 8 p.m. House private pleas on the morning of the funeral. A celebration of his life will be held in Fintown Day Centre at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning, followed by cremation in Lakelands Crematorium in Cavan. The death has taken place of Seamus McGinley, Cheerhumman, Milford. Remains are reposing at the residence of his brother Henry and Elizabeth McGinley, Lochnackie, Milford. Funeral liturgy tomorrow at 11 a.m. in St. Peter's Church, Milford, with burial afterwards in Milford Cemetery. Funeral liturgy can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. Family time please from 11 p.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Patrick Sweeney Funeral Directors. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.